Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Sugar Creek Country Club in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at, wait for it, Jungle Fever.
There you go.
At Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. We're out here at Sugar Creek Country Club where people are starting to file out now after playing golf all day. And turned out to be a great day for it. So appreciate everybody who came out. Hope you had a good time. And I told you, the guy almost hit a human being. That was him that walked out before this group here.
Oh, nice.
It was awesome. Nice guy, though. Enjoy it. And it's kind of my fault because I was talking about, yeah, I can't. Yeah, I'm left-handed. Occasionally I slice the ball, as you well know. All those houses along the left side there would just be dead.
Yeah.
If I tried to play that hole. Frobie says, y'all are fighting a losing battle if you think people will stop hating that Oakland team. To me, it's not about. I'm not asking you to stop hating them. I don't like them. I'm not a particular fan, but I sure recognize what the guy is doing is just through the roof right now. And there's a lot of players that in a lot of sports and in a lot of teams that I don't necessarily like the team, and I still recognize how great they are. I know you're not the biggest fan of the Patriots, but you know you got to respect what Tom Brady is.
Yeah.
And I think what we should do instead of trying to tear things down all the time when they're going like this, we appreciate the greatness we're seeing. And it's so predictable that, you know, first you'll have people come out and say, hey, this guy's great. This is amazing. We've never seen anything like this. And then you'll have all these other people say, oh, well, what about this guy and this guy and this guy? And I think a good example was when we were at the Super Bowl and we were having dinner with Clark Judge and all those guys who in the Hall of Fame, and you were asking about T.O., and they start bringing up all these guys that played in the 60s.
Yeah, a bunch of leather helmet guys that they think are better players than T.O.
And that's the thing. It's this need to protect the past, which I think.
And they are vehemently protective.
Yeah, they are. And you know, I get it. I don't agree with it. 281 says it's similar to the same thing that happened when old school rappers hated on younger rappers.
Well, that's because younger rappers suck. that's legit. that's legit.
Okay. I don't know. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 is your number. And, I'm enjoying seeing what I'm seeing out of him right now because look, it's not going to last forever. It never does, especially with a guy that's that small. Sooner or later, you know, it's going to catch up to him.
All right.
So let's just enjoy it while it's happening. Let's quit worrying about, oh, well, this guy was better. I mean, in the end – when you line up what he does, for a stretch, though, of 2 years, I don't know that I've seen anyone play at this level. And I think you're right. Akeem, for those 2 years, might have been the only one that was as dominant and was able to carry a team almost by himself. And that's what we're seeing. And LeBron's done it as well. I think I put him in that category. For a couple of seasons, he's done that. And even before he got – I still think – you've brought this up before. The year they got to the finals – against the Spurs with that team he had around him to just get there.
Yeah.
Was an incredible individual performance.
2009, 2010, LeBron James is I think in that conversation with what we're seeing from Steph right now and from what I saw with Hakeem. Now, again, you're older than me. You may have seen other guys who dominated more than those two guys did. This is just the third example where I can say it doesn't matter who else you put around Steph Curry, right? And granted, the Warriors are what they are because they're a well-balanced team. But if you put Steph Curry on the Pelicans tomorrow, the Pelicans are instantly a title contender. And, I mean, just because he is just so filthy right now. And that's the same thing I would have said about Hakeem back in those days.
Same thing we said about LeBron.
LeBron, yeah. Like, whatever the team he's on, it's not necessarily a bet. And I'm not saying they'd win championships, and because LeBron didn't win championships back then. But whatever team they're on is a contender to win just because that one guy is on the team. Singularly dominant players.
The only other guy that I could think about maybe putting in this conversation for my era would have been Dr. J for a couple of years. But even he couldn't win a title until he got Moses Malone there.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I mean, and I'm sure that people older than me would have some other guys that they could come up with. But it's pretty incredible, man. I mean, what he's doing right now. Have you seen the John Oliver thing on Trump yet?
I haven't watched the whole thing yet. I saw some of the highlights of it. I guess I saw a clip of it. I haven't had time to sit down and watch the whole thing. It's on my DVR.
Yeah, I usually watch that show tonight, so I have not seen it yet. I've seen people talking about it. I'll hold off judgment until I actually see it. But if it's anything like what he does, it's stuff you already knew in this case with Trump. I don't think it's going to change your mind if you watch that show. But I will say that, I love John Oliver. I've been talking about this guy's show for years. He's at his best when he goes after things that we don't know about.
Yeah.
And sheds light on them. Like, I thought last week the thing he did on abortion clinic, I'd read all that. It wasn't anything new. And it kind of sounds like this is the same thing. It's all stuff we already know. I'll check it out, and I'll have more of an opinion on it tomorrow. But I would say that's the one thing I've seen different in the show this year, is he's kind of tackling stuff we already knew. I like it better when he brings up a subject that I would have never thought about, like FIFA, and I still point to that, the Afghan translators for the military was one of the best things I've ever seen. And I just think that's when his show is most interesting to me, because I like it when I learn something. Not, well, I already know all this stuff. I've seen it. Michael says, I don't know which is more entertaining this season, The Walking Dead or The Rockets implosion. I haven't watched The Walking Dead.
I haven't watched it yet because I watched the Oscars last night.
We do have Better Call Saul tonight.
All right.
And I'm all in on that. I've been watching that Outsiders on WGN. That's a very, very good show. I like that.
Another guy that gets brought up on Twitter is Dirk Nowitzki in that run where, like, 05 through 07.
Pretty
although
good.
Don't get me wrong, as far as scoring goes, was just a dominant scorer and was scoring from all over the place. I've always contended Dirk was a one-sided player, though. I mean, he had a little bit of harden to him at that point where I'll move to the other side of the court when it's time to play defense, but that's about all you can ask of me.
Yeah, and you know, a couple people mentioned Iverson.
Yeah, maybe you could put him in that conversation.
And of course, there's the...
I mean, he did take a team full of hobos to an NBA Finals. That's legit, so I guess it's... But I don't know if...
Kobe 0607?
I don't know. It's hard to say because he had a pretty good team around.
Well, and that's the thing. And that's why I don't mention Michael Jordan on this list.
Yeah.
Is because he had so many great players around him. And that team almost made the finals without him. So it's hard for me to say that he was carrying this team the way that I think Steph Curry's carrying the Warriors or that I've seen LeBron carry the Cavs and at times the Heat. So, I'm looking at one player that you say, if I put him on any other team, this team's instantly a contender. And that was probably true of Jordan.
Yeah.
But I also think these guys make more of a difference. Joe asked, just off work, did I miss Oscar talk?
No, you've not.
No, we will get to that, as a matter of fact. But almost all the favorites won that we talked to RJ about.
Except for the big one.
Except for the big one. But we'll do that when we come back because I would like to get into that. But right now, I'm going to say about my good friends at Quick Weight Loss Center. And it was very cool. Ran into a couple people today that hadn't seen me in a while and said the same thing. It's like, man, I almost didn't recognize you. It's been a couple of years. And it's like, yeah, that was 50 pounds ago. I managed to go to Quick Weight Loss, get the weight off, and it's really helped me change my lifestyle, getting out and doing a lot more active things. And the great thing about it is it's such an easy program. If you stick to it, you're going to see results. And I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, all right, man, I'm thinking about doing this. How does it work? And I go, just go get that free, no-obligation consultation, and they're going to tell you how it works. And you know what? You're going to be very happy with the results. If you stick to this program and do what they tell you, you are going to lose weight. They're guaranteed. For 28 years now, they've been helping people. You lose up to 100 pounds. If you need to lose 20, they can get that off. No exercise, no prepackaged meals. Right now, 6 weeks for $66. All weight loss services included, and kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions apply. For your free, no-obligation consultation, drop by one of their 15 Houston-area locations. Go to quickweightlosscenter.com. Or if you're in Beaumont, they have a home program. If you're over in the Golden Triangle, you need to lose some weight, they can help you with that too. 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
It's an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Sugar Creek Country Club in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
It's Hollywood racist. You know, that's a you know, you got to go at that the right way. Is it Burning Cross racist? No. Is it Fetch Me Some Lemonade racist? No. It's a different type of racist. Now, I remember one night I was at a fundraiser for President Obama. A lot of you were there. And, you know, it's me and all of Hollywood. And all the, you know, it's all of us there. And there's about four black people there. Me, Quincy Jones, Russell Simmons, Questlove. You know, the usual suspects, right? You know, and every black actor that wasn't working. Needless to say, Kev Hart was not there, okay? So at some point, you get to take a picture with the president, you know, and as they're setting up the picture, you get like a little moment with the president. I'm like, Mr. President, you see all these writers and producers and actors? They don't hire black people. And they're the nicest white people on earth. They're liberals. Jeez. Hollywood is sorority racist. It's like, we like you, Rhonda, but you're not a Kappa. That's how Hollywood's, yeah? But things are changing. Things are changing.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And that was Chris Rock, who, by all accounts, killed it last night, from what I understand. I did not. I watched a little bit of it, but I'm not a fan of these shows, as you know. I just like to know who won. And I don't like to hear all the speeches and thanking my agent and thanking my dog. And
yeah. Well, they don't leave you much time for that anymore. And now they run a little scroll across the bottom of who this person would like to thank, and then they chase you off the stage with that music. The only exception is if you're talking about a racially sensitive issue, you have as much time as you want. So like, if you actually start talking about race, they'll start the music up, and then you start talking about race, the music gets a little bit quieter, and then they'll just shut it up until so the guy can finish. The director for The Revenant did that. He started talking about the people from Mexico and things like, and they were like, oh, the music came down. They let him finish talking. But other people, if you weren't talking about that, if you were talking about who you wanted to thank and your people, nah, they were running your ass off the stage.
Yeah, well, anything surprise you?
I was surprised at the winner of the Best Picture winner. It's the odds are the odds, but The Revenant was a pretty big favorite to win that thing. And so when they said Spotlight, I was absolutely a little bit surprised, and then I thought it was funny. Newspaper movie wins the Best Picture, and of course you start to realize how many newspaper people you follow on Twitter.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, what a great win for the newspaper industry for this movie to win. And I was like, yeah, congratulations to all my newspaper follows for the big news on the Spotlight win. I can't wait to read the Oscar results in Tuesday's paper. So, which is so, I mean, it's truthful.
It sounds like you were on a roll on Twitter last night, actually. I'm sorry that I missed it.
But that's a that was a I think that was a big surprise. Besides that, though, I don't think there were any real surprises. You know, maybe Mark Rylance winning for best supporting actor over Stallone. A lot of people were pissed off about that, but I, for one, and I think I said this last week, that Stallone didn't deserve an Oscar for that. And there are people saying, oh, well, he should have gotten one for Rocky way back in the – I don't care what he did in the 70s. You don't get an award for that now because – like a lifetime achievement thing. No.
I thought Rylance was pretty good in Bridge of Spies.
I thought Tom Hardy should have won that prize for best supporting actor. I thought he was better than DiCaprio in that movie. But either way, those were the two surprises, I guess, was supporting actor and best picture. Somebody got mad at me on Twitter because when Alejandro Iñárritu won for The Revenant, I said, "Oh, another chalk up another win for Whitey," and someone was like, "Bro, you can't pretend like white people aren't winning all these awards." And then I said, most of the awards last night, the most awarded movie last night was Mad Max.
Yeah.
Mad Max Fury Road.
But you know what? It went for the things it should have. Costume and things like that. I didn't think it belonged.
Sound editing. Yeah. You know, things like that. But the those people, all the guys getting those awards are Aussies. I'm not counting those as white people. That's a different crop. So don't blame the white man for all that.
Well, plus I'm guessing you were a little tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. Well, somebody asked if I felt white guilt, and I said, "Bro, I'm barely even white." And then a bunch of people started tweeting me like, "Really? What's your family? Like, are you serious?" I'm a little bit white, but not. I'm just barely.
You're as white as they come, dude. No, I'm not gonna say it. You also. You pointed out something about a particular gay actor, too, that I think you should share.
Not even a gay actor.
I think you should share.
Sam Smith came up and won his award for best song for the song that he did in the Bond movie and said, "From what I understand, I'm the first openly gay man to win an Oscar." Bro, let me tell you something. They've been handing out these trophies to gay dudes since before you were born. Thinking you're the first gay man to win the Oscars would be like thinking you're the first black guy to win the NBA MVP. It's been around for a while. You're not breaking ground here, buddy. I tweeted a picture of Elton John holding up his statue with the gayest looking face on, and I was like, "Yeah, Sam Smith, you definitely got it. Congratulations, you're the first openly gay." He dedicated the award to the LGBT community. Barry Warner is probably disgusted a little bit disgusted because he's not totally homophobic.
No.
Just
he's
a little bit homophobic.
Partially.
Right.
He's
sort of homophobic. But yeah, Sam Smith thinking he's the first gay guy to win an Oscar. Hilarious. Next year someone will be the first black man to win a BET award. That'll be, well, you got it.
Well, he did say openly gay.
I mean, is Elton John not openly gay?
I'm
pretty sure Elton John's very openly gay.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of guys who are very openly gay who are winning Oscars.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really pay that much attention. I just kind of, you know, figure out, okay, I suspect this guy is.
I would know, Fred.
Well, that's right.
According to Barry Warner, I'm gay.
Okay. Well, but again, he's not totally.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think still it was funny tweets, though. That's all I care about. Was it funny? 713.
I thought some funny things happened.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure one of our listeners can tell us if there was someone who was openly gay before him that I'm sure, I'm almost positive that guys who have come out have won those awards.
Oh, no question. Like I said, there's been a lot. I think what he was referring to is an openly gay man's never won best actor. And that is true as far as I
guarantee
know.
You a gay man has won that award.
Oh, no, or at least someone who's experimented, who's dipped their pin in the well, if you know what I'm saying, at some point. Maybe not openly, but yeah. But
I'm pretty sure there's some just flat out that's what they are, and that's cool. But oh, well. Somebody said, "I don't understand how Revenant wins Best Actor and Best Director, but not Best Movie." Confused.
well, welcome to the political game that is award shows. They, you know, they will tell you one thing and then go the other way with another because they've got to give this. They got to throw everybody a little bit of a bone here. So I'm not going to try too hard to dig into it. And again, I don't really care. I have my mind on what the best movie of the year was. Apparently, I need to watch Room. I've been avoiding watching Room.
I haven't seen. Well, and I still haven't seen The Revenant.
But my wife is pushing me to watch it. So I'll probably watch it. But for the most part, I thought. Well, as you know, I thought Sicario was the best film that came out this year. Not even nominated. So
yeah,
what do I know?
I haven't seen The Revenant, so I can't judge that yet. But I thought – I have seen a lot of the other ones.
Did you see Spotlight?
I haven't seen Spotlight. It's next on my list, obviously. So somebody actually wrote a story on this about how he said no openly gay man has ever won an Oscar. I wonder if that is prejudice or chance. Okay. He forgot – Sir John Gielgud.
Dude, he forgot a million gays that won those. Like, that's the point.
These are openly gay guys. Sir John Gielgud in 1981 for Arthur, Best Supporting. He was great in that. Elton John, you mentioned. Joel Grey won Best Supporting Actor for Cabaret in 1973. And the gay Spanish director Pedro Almodovar also won for writing Talking to Her in 2002. The music category, which he's a part of, also includes Stephen Sondheim, Melissa Etheridge. Yeah, that's one we all know about.
Yeah.
And then Dustin Lance Black, who received the Academy Award in 2009 for the Best Original Screenplay for Milk.
Okay.
So that's just the ones that they came up with for this story that we already knew.
Brian says Kevin Spacey's openly gay and one for American Beauty. I don't know if he's openly gay. I think he's rumored to be gay. Wouldn't shock me, but I don't think he's openly gay. And I Disco Biscuit says that no openly gay had won Best Actor. Two have before, but came out after the fact. So no one who's, I mean, is it really that big of a deal anymore? There was a guy nominated for Best Actor who was playing a transgender woman in the movie. So I don't think it's that taboo anymore to begin with, but it's definitely not true that Sam Smith was the first gay Oscar winner.
You know what? I know nothing about Sam Smith, but I bet he's getting a ton of run today.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm sure it worked out for him. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We got a lot more to go. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And we are back on The Blitz. I wonder if the lyrics of this are true, too. I don't know.
The writing is on the wall.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to go read that.
How much Combine did you watch this weekend?
A little bit. I was today, obviously, I was out here most of the day, but I was following it very closely because I was curious what William Jackson of UH was going to do in his 40.
Oh, he's going to run fast. I could have told you that.
Well, but the thing with him is he wasn't really considered a speed corner. He's a big guy.
Bigger guy, yeah.
And he runs a 4.37 today, which I think is going to help his stock a lot. And I know I'm biased, but I was saying this all year that I thought that guy was the best cover corner in college football until he got hurt late in the season. And unfortunately, the games people paid attention to was he got hurt, I think, in the Memphis game.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't 100% at the end of the season. So if you saw him, you're like, hey, he's good, but. But at the beginning of the season, man, that guy locked down anybody he was on. And I even called like three of his interceptions. I said, if they keep throwing at this guy, you watch. They're going to throw it out, and he's going to pick it and go the other way. And he did. I mean, plus he's got the size you look for. He's got the length. And I think hopefully this will be the kind of thing that gets him bumped up to the back end of the first round. He winds up with a really good team like the Seahawks or somebody like that. I just would love to see him in their system.
I think that I'm not sure if I'd say he's the best cover corner I saw this year. I think Vernon Hargraves at Florida was outstanding most of the season. And I think Mills Jalen Mills at LSU is very good as well. But I think for him, part of the reason he was overlooked a little bit is because he played on a team that was sort of ballyhooed for their offense. And people don't realize it. The team was pretty good on defense.
They were really good on defense.
Especially early on. And he was a big reason why. Yeah, he's a hell of a player. You talk about cornerbacks. If you can find a six-footer taller cornerback that moves the way that guy moves, dude, I'm interested. I'm very interested.
And he has fantastic ball skills. And that's one thing that I'm really looking forward to next season. But they had three ball hawks in that secondary that won't be there next year. And they've got some good young guys coming up. But he was one of those that if you kept throwing at him, he was going to intercept the ball. It was just a matter of time. And when they needed a big play, he did it. The tackling could use a little bit of work for his size. There are times he doesn't wrap up as well as he should. But
you know how many corners come into the league, though, that are excellent tacklers? Right. There's not very many.
No, but I thought he improved that a lot this year.
If you're a defensive back who can tackle in college, you're a safety.
Yeah, generally.
More often than not.
Yeah, I do think that's he's got everything you look for in a corner, and in the right system, man, I think he'll be terrific. If he can stay healthy, which is, you're going to say that about anybody, but before he got hurt last year, he was just amazing to watch. Brian asks, how did you guys do golfing if you did? We did not get to golf, unfortunately.
No, they didn't want us golfing.
Which we would have finished in time for the show.
Yeah, we would have.
So,
CBS now has William Jackson going 25th to Pittsburgh.
Really?
That wouldn't be a bad. Well, that's not a great secondary right now, but that's a good place to end up, I would say.
Yeah, I think he would certainly help them, and that's a team that's there every year, and boy,
no doubt.
And he'd make a great difference for them, I think that's about where he should go. How many corners do they have before him?
In that particular draft, that's the updated draft today by Pete Prisco. He has Vernon Hargraves going 8th to the Dolphins. He has Mackenzie Alexander, the kid from Clemson, going 14th to the Raiders. And he has William Jackson, third corner off the board, ahead of Kendall Fuller, who he's got going 28th.
Well, I kind of think, to me, that's where he should go. Because other guys come from a little bit higher profile and also had great years and have great measurables. But I would not.
I'm sorry. He's 4th. They have Eli Apple from Ohio State going 15th, right after Mackenzie Alexander.
Okay.
So they have him as the 4th corner off the board.
Okay. Well, I think he'll. I think he'll surprise some people. I really do.
What do you think of the quarterbacks you saw this weekend?
I saw a lot of. I haven't gone through all of it yet. I've got a lot of the stuff recorded. I saw a lot of guys whose mechanics did not impress me.
Here's what I learned. Here's what I took away from watching the quarterbacks. The Texans, unless they give up their entire draft, will not sniff Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. That much I'm certain of. It is going to cost them a lot to get up to get those guys. Carson Wentz had about as good of a weekend as you could have. Jared Goff was already in a good spot, and he had a great weekend. The other thing, and this may be a positive, the Texans will not take Christian Hackenberg in the first round. If they do, I don't know what to take. That guy looked, he's one of those guys where I thought the combine would be a spot where he'd look great. Because
he measures out great.
Yeah.
Physically, he looks the part. But.
So when there's no he's throwing over guys' heads. He's throwing it into the ground. He's, like, kicking rocks after bad throws. Like, he's bummed out. He's getting down on himself. He just looked a mess. There is no way a team can take a guy who's had last two seasons that guy had and then a combine like he had and go, yeah, that's a first-round quarterback. No way. And if you do – boy, you are tying your job to that because there's got to be somebody with some sense there. If this is an O'Brien thing and he really wants him, there's got to be somebody going in that room going, hey, this is a bad idea, Bill. This is a real bad idea. And somebody is going to tie their job. If they take that guy in the first round, they're tying their job to that pick, and I don't think it's a good idea.
I would just say that I hope that – well, Paxton Lynch is the one I want. I think – in 3 years, I bet he'll be the best of those three guys. I think getting in, it depends on where he's drafted. Whoever winds up in Cleveland's probably dead, so you get that one automatically. But I mean, he's got all the skills that I look for. He's got the height. He's very mobile, and he's still learning how to throw the football. I don't think he's going to be a dominant quarterback right off the bat. I don't think any of these guys are. But I think in 3 years, but they don't really give guys 3 years anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe one of those guys that 3 years from now you're picking up as a RG3 reclamation project.
The other guys that impressed me, I got to say Connor Cook impressed me. I've been not wanting to be impressed by Connor Cook. I don't know how he'll interview. I'm sure people think he's a giant pain in the ass. Everything I've heard about him, he's a pain in the ass, and maybe the Texans are sour on that. Specifically, Bill O'Brien would be sour on that. I don't know. But that guy looked pretty good. The other guy, and I obviously you're talking about a project here, Jeff Driscoll running a 4.55 or 4.56 40. That's interesting because if you remember, if people are talking about what a big-time prospect Christian Hackenberg was, you may want to remember what kind of a big-time prospect Jeff Driscoll was when he went to Florida. And obviously, whatever was going on at Florida, whether it was Muschamp's fault or his fault or it was just a bad mix, it just didn't work. He went to Louisiana Tech last year and had a fantastic season. And I think that guy, if you got a guy running like that through the ball well, that might be a guy worth looking at as a project. That's a guy who you could buy low on, and he could really pan out.
From a Texans perspective, though, they've already got a project on the roster. And, you know, it's time for that project to
– You still think you're talking about Tom Savage?
Yeah. I mean, that's where you draft a guy. Like, that's where you're going to draft Driscoll, right?
I'm almost ready to move on from Tom Savage. I know everybody thinks he needs to have a chance.
The guy can't
stay healthy. If he can't stay healthy, I'm sorry. You can't play on my team.
And that's the thing. He's been hurt twice now with little playing time. 832 says, did y'all watch the combine or just read the reviews? Hack looked better than Lynch, and I think he means Cook in his opinion.
Oh, not mine.
Not mine either. And, hey, look, we look for different things.
Fred just said he hasn't watched it yet.
I did watch some of Hackenberg.
Okay. I did watch it. I thought Hackenberg looked like trash.
I haven't seen Cook. I saw a lot of the things you did. And listen, I'm not going to change my opinion too much on these guys based on how they throw at the combine or how they look. I'm looking for some of the things that Salisbury's talked about. I'm looking for mechanics. I'm looking for, you know, where their hips are when they throw, things like that. I mean, I'm not too worried about overthrows and things like that with receivers they don't know. But if I already have an opinion on a guy, it's not going to change too much based on what they do there. And for me, a guy like Hackenberg who did not play well, you want to see him do much, much better than what we saw. And we'll see if he winds up being any good. I think that's a guy I wouldn't mind taking later.
Yeah.
Even if you take a quarterback early. With this team, I would not object to the Washington Redskins strategy. Okay, we're taking RG3, and then we're going to take Kirk Cousins. And we're going to have two of these guys. And one of them is going to work out. Because at this point, you got to quit screwing around.
Yeah.
You got to take some chances. And yeah. And at the time, I liked what Washington did. And even though that was like the only other pick they had. But I wouldn't be disappointed if the Texans said, all right, we're going to, you know, take Paxton Lynch in the first round, and then we're going to get around to the third round. And if Hackenberg's still there, which he probably will be, if he doesn't go high, I would have a problem with him or Driscoll or Dak Prescott as another kind of project guy.
Let's also not act like the Redskins' technique was some sort of flawless thing either.
But I liked it at the time, and I said it.
The Redskins got two good years out of the 4 years they had those quarterbacks, two good years of quarterback play out of the four, and now they have to pay to see if Kirk Cousins is worth a damn. So it's,
no, but you know what? They got the playoffs twice in those 4 years.
Yeah.
And they got a lot out of RG3 the first year. They got a lot out of Kirk Cousins this year. I would say, yes, they failed on RG3. Complete failure. But that's why you take two of those guys. But
you also don't have a sure thing with Kirk Cousins either.
Well, no, I don't know that they do, but I don't think that was a bad strategy, and I think the Texans are in that they're in that position where they have to do it.
Jared says, if Reggie Ragland fell close enough with the QBs gone, would you make a player get Zeke Elliott? Can I choose a different option? I've said before, I won't take a run. If I had the choice, and I'm sure the Texans are probably looking at it differently, I wouldn't take a running back in the first round. I think Reggie Ragland, an inside linebacker, very good inside linebacker, That's not someone I'm looking to take with my very first pick either, especially at 22. I think there are some other players who can help you a little bit more there. Inside linebacker is obviously something you'd like to see improved, but there are bigger priorities in my opinion.
All right, 713-780-ESPN.
And Nick says, what about Prescott? That's a guy who I'm not really crazy about. But like Fred said, if they take another swing at a project guy, he's not a guy I would hate. I just think he's very raw. There's a lot of work that needs to be done with Dak Prescott. He's not a guy who can come in and play next year, in my opinion.
No, and I think once you get past really those top three, you better not expect any of those guys to play next year, at least certainly not until late in the season.
Right. All right, guys, going to tell you one more time about attorney Gary Trichter. As you know, once you're accused of DWI, you're in trouble, especially if you don't handle it the right way. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist. He's right here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about police breath tests and blood tests and the flaws behind them. He's experienced in talking to juries about that, because there's a lot of lawyers who will take these DWI cases. Not very many who have experience in actually taking them to the trial process, or taking them through the trial process. Attorney Gary Trichter is one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. This guy understands what it's like to stand in front of a jury and fight for you, not just go in, plead guilty, and hope for the best. There's a lot of problems with the police science on the breath test and the blood test. Failing those tests, it's not the end of the world if you've got a lawyer who's experienced in pointing out the flaws in those tests. Attorney Gary Trichter is your guy. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, you need to call Attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit him online at texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
It's an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Sugar Creek Country Club in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Kick off your weekend right. Have lunch out with ESPN 97.5. Each Friday, John and Raheel, followed by Unfiltered, will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. And good job, John, breaking out the new Weezer. I haven't got the whole album yet because I guess it's not out, but the first three songs are pretty good. Yeah. I'm kind of a – did we lose AJ?
No, I got the wrong headset.
That's the second time we've gotten
the
wrong
headset.
Let's do this Ad-Hoc Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. Ad-Hoc Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, this one we go to Australia, where a young man from Northern Australia, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, was visiting Melbourne. And for the first time, he saw a vending machine.
All right.
Now, keep in mind, he'd probably never seen anything like this in any of his time in Australia. 4 years old. He saw some Oreos, some biscuits. Now, I didn't know they did biscuits in vending machines, but it's Australia, so who knows. So he reaches his arm in to try to get them. And apparently it has an anti-theft thing on it that locked his arm in the machine.
Oh, boy.
It took 6 hours
for
emergency responders to get him free. At one point, officers tried to cut the machine open, but that attempt had to be scrapped after it started scaring the kid. So let this be a lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, 6 hours to try to get out of a vending machine.
Don't reach up in the vending machine. Not wise.
No. And in this case, you can kind of understand it because the kid had probably never seen one before. He just thought, oh, there's a machine. I can go and – but, man, that's some pretty serious anti-theft stuff if you're locked in for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Cookies are called biscuits in Australia.
Oh, okay.
So that explains
sense.
It. All right.
Girl Scout biscuits.
Yeah. That sounds kind of disgusting, frankly. All right. I had some other ones, but that was kind of my favorite one. There's a woman who thinks she got pregnant because she kissed the Stanley Cup, but I'll save that for later.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I have another giveaway.
Okay.
I've got two of these things. I have two giveaways left. Is that correct, John? Yeah, it's correct. Let's do the Heights Crawfish Festival tickets. It's crawfish season. You can win crawfish plate tickets for two at to the Heights Crawfish Festival. Saturday, March 5th at 411 20th Street behind the Flower Shop. Get there early for the inaugural parade that kicks off the festival. Miss Texas Latina Alma Alvarez will be the Grand Marshal. Heights Crawfish Festival offers live music, the finale of Idol of the Heights, singing contest, performances by local schools, exhibitor booths, shopping opportunities, a Kids World area of rides and activities, and, of course, crawfish. Buy your crawfish tickets in advance for a discount. Log on to heightschamber.com/crawfish-festival. Caller 12. You get those. All right. Another hour in the books. We got one left. I think we're going to be the last ones left in this place when it finally finishes up, though. So I learn something new every day. Cookies or biscuits.
There you go. Don't you feel better?
A little bit, yeah. I like learning things.
Yeah, you should feel better.
513 says, look up the story about the 16-year-old Russian who won a porn star for a month.
That was last week, bro.
Last week, man.
He's mashing that right now as we speak.
Good for him.
He's knee-deep in that.
Good for him. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I'll be lying right beside you.